want to say that I'm going to spend the first few minutes here reviewing. If you were not here the last couple weeks, you'll catch up, I promise. Or go to our website, alckokomo.com, and listen to our services, and it'll bring you up to speed completely. But just for the sake of time, I'm going to spend about 5-10 minutes here reviewing, and then I really want to get into my message. And my message will probably be 20, 30, 40 minutes from now. All right? Okay, so here's what we have said. Grace is not a covering for what? Rebellious activity or disobedience. How many of y'all know that? Absolutely. You can't say, I'm under grace, therefore you can do whatever you want. I don't even know, that's not the way grace is applied. Grace frees you from sin, it doesn't yoke you to it. Grace is not God going light on sin. Right? I mean, you know, our sin cost Jesus' life 2,000 years ago. Absolutely. And here's the last one. Grace does not excuse us for our bad behavior, bad thoughts, all those things. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, grace, when you understand it properly, frees you from those things. Amen? All right. Again, go back and listen if you need more. Grace, we said, is unearned, unmerited what? Favor. How many of you know you can either have the favor of God by works, which you can never merit, or by grace? Grace gets you out of the way, puts Jesus at the center of it, right? Amen? All right. Here we go. Under law, God requires. Under the law, God requires. You have to always do something to please God under the law. Say, Pastor Charlie, that sounds like the church I'm going to. No, not here. Under the law, God requires. Under grace, which is what I believe, God provides. God provides everything that you need. God provides everything you need. All right? Now, old covenant, key word, old covenant was obedience. You have to obey. You have to obey to receive God's blessing. If you didn't obey, you were cursed. All right, new covenant. New Testament. What's the key word? Faith. Faith in what? What Jesus did 2,000 years ago. What? What Jesus did what? 2,000 years ago. Under the law, God required. Under grace, God provides. How does he provide it? By you believing in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. No, Pastor Charlie, it's based upon me and me doing something. No, if it's by your works, then it's not by grace. And if it's by works, it's a debt now. You're made righteous. How are you righteous this morning? Yes. All right. Why are you made righteous? Because what Jesus did 2,000 years. Man, you got a good pastor. Because what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, you believe on him, therefore you're made righteous. Right? All right. Okay. All right. Just bringing everybody up to speed. Now remember, last week we talked about this right here. In this he says a new covenant he has made, the first what? Obsolete. We talked about Hebrews. And we said that the new covenant is about your sins and your iniquities. He will what? Remember no more. God is not dealing with you based upon your sin anymore. That's good news, all right? And again, we're still reviewing. You have, this was last week, you have the gift of forgiveness of sins. Now, we left off right here. Noun and verb. Okay, what's a noun? Person, place, thing, or an idea. What's a verb? An action. All right, now, I'm going to review this a little bit more, and then we'll get into the message. Noun, we're talking specifically about one word, sin. The word sin in the Bible, most of the time, is used as a noun, not a verb. Okay? Remember last week, and I'll say it again. Now we're getting everybody up to speed. The noun is not talking about your sin. It's talking about Adam's sin passed down to you, or what we as preachers call original sin. How many of you know you were a sinner before you popped out of your mama's womb? You were a sinner. Had you sinned? No. But were you a sinner? Yes. Now you got it. You had original sin in you, or you were born after Adam. So you had original sin in you, therefore you were the noun. right? And because the noun was in you, you grew up and you started verbing. Yes. Oh, if I preach long enough, that'll pop up again here in a minute. No, you started verbing. Jesus came to destroy the noun so that the verb would lose power over your life. Yes. Right? He shut the factory down. But every once in a while, there are remnants floating around in the factory of that thing. He killed the noun in your life, but the verb is still there because you were born with it in you. And if somebody pushes on you enough, the verb comes out. But the way the verb loses its power over your life is by you understanding that the noun was destroyed and so was the verb. And God's not dealing with you based upon your sin anymore. Somebody will get upset at that, especially religious people, but nevertheless, here it goes. Look at this. This is the verse we left off with last week. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the what? Blood of Jesus, his son, does what? Cleanses us. And remember, I gave it to you in the verb, present, indicative, active. Present, active verb. It's a present, active verb. So you are presently, currently, right now being what? Cleansed. Cleansed. You are presently, actively being cleansed. Each and every day of your life, because you have faith in what Jesus did, you are constantly being cleansed. Did you do it? No, but you believe on him. And because your faith in believing on him, you've been made righteous. How have you been made righteous? Because God is constantly cleansing you because you believe what he did 2,000 years ago. Come on, you're righteous in the eyes of God because you are cleansed, right? Last week I used the example of Mike's car wash or the crew. You know, if you take and you drive through a mud puddle, then you got to go do something to get your car clean. That's how most people think of sin. If I go and I mess up and I verb, then I got to go get something to get me clean and get the verb off of me. So I got to go confess it. Oh, God, forgive me. Or I got to go dip in water. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I got to dip in water. Or Lord, do this or do that or any pray the rosary. I don't care what you do. All these other activities. But the Bible teaches us very, very plainly here that you are constantly, continuously being cleansed. In other words, you don't visit Mike's car wash or the crew. The crew lives over you. And everywhere you drive, it's over you. And it's constantly washing up. I know it's a bad illustration, but you're getting it, right? Come on, amen? They should give me free car washes for me plugging them, praise God. But nevertheless, come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? You're constantly being made clean. Constantly. Constantly. Is it anything that you do to be clean? Well, you believe on him. But is there any work that you do? No, no. I'm constantly being made clean. Constantly. Look at this. He cleanses us from all of our original sin. If we say we have no sin, noun, then we deceive ourselves and the truth, noun, is not what? It's not in us. Look at this. If we confess our sins, what is that? Noun, original sin. This is talking to people who have not accepted Christ. Not accepted. Why? People that don't accept Christ don't understand they were born in sin. Hey, check it out. Let me translate it this way. If you was to ask most people, what do you need to do to get to heaven? You know what most people will say? Keep the commandments. Do this, do this, do this, do that, do this, do this, do that. Be baptized, do that. It doesn't matter. Any number of things, people will say. Any number of things. All those are based upon your efforts. Right? All you really need to do to go to heaven is accept what Jesus did. And by you accepting that, you're made clean. You have the gift of forgiveness of sins. Y'all hearing it? You have the gift of forgiveness of sins. This used to mess with me bad, especially when I first got saved. Because here's what would happen. I got saved, and they said, when you accept Jesus Christ, God has washed away your sin. I'm like, great. This is awesome. I'm saved. I'm born again. So now I'm born again, coming to church, but every time I'm at church, they remind me of my sin and tell me I need to do something to get free from my sin. And I used to think, well, why did Jesus, if he's so good, how come he's just getting me to heaven and he's not breaking sin off of me? Why do I got to constantly deal with my sin? Let me translate it and say it real plain. The focus of my relationship with God before I understood this was my sin. The focus of my relationship with now with God is Jesus. Period. Do I worry about my sin? Absolutely not. Why? I'm constantly being made clean. I don't even worry about it. Well, Pastor Charlie, that means you just go out and you sin more. Actually, it's the opposite. Because I don't have a consciousness of sin, and every day I'm walking free from sin, I don't desire to sin at all. And if I do, I have an advocate with the Father who's cleansing me, and I don't go, oh God, will you please forgive me, as if his forgiveness is something I have to earn. All I do is say, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. That was dumb. Come on, it's freeing. Yeah, last week I was talking to a lady who was having trouble, a little bit of trouble with understanding this. And she had a child in the kids ministry, and I knew that. And she says, man, I'm just struggling with this. I said, let me ask you this. I said, are your kids perfect? What do you think she said? No. I said, let me ask you this. Do you think they'll miss it tomorrow, this week? You think they'll mess up? She goes, they'll probably mess up by the time we get to the car. She said that. I thought, oh yeah, you're walking right into it. I said, let me ask you this. Have you chosen to forgive them even now? Well, of course. So your forgiveness is not based upon their efforts. Your forgiveness is based upon how you see them. She said, I get that. Totally makes sense now. Thank you. Drive through, please. Come on, how many of y'all hear it, though? You hear it? You deal with your kids. See, we recognize it, but let me be plain. When we religiousize the Bible, then we get all these weird, crazy things. It's only when we see it for what it really says that it makes sense, complete sense. All right? So now, if he cleanses us present, indefinitely, constantly, right now, when am I clean from my sin, right? How about tomorrow? Yes, because it's present. It's present, indicative, now, right now. Cleanses me from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not verbed, acted on the noun, verbed, clubbed, acted crazy, then we make him a liar. Why? Because he says we've all sinned, noun, and fall short of the glory of God. Right? That's what Romans tells us. We make him a liar, and his word is not what? In us. And I left you with this. This was the last verse we talked about last week. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin, which is a verb. You have that Adam nature in you. Jesus came and destroyed it. But you still have remnants of that in you. It's not the noun. You're not a sinner. You are now saved. And you are now made righteous. Come on, amen? Okay, so now, but you still have some remnants in you. We all do. And if we do verb, if anyone verbs, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. If anyone verbs, you have an advocate with the Father. If anyone verbs, I gotta go confess. See, I was so confused when I first got saved, first got born again. I was so confused because I'm like, hold up, Jesus washed away my sin, but how come I spend a lot of time confessing my mess ups? Or why is it that now I listen to this preacher and he says I got to go get dipped in water? Oh, and then they get real complicated. You ready for this? You get dipped in water when you first get saved because that washes away your sins. But then every time after that you sin, you don't have to go back to the water. Why? Well, then you can just confess it. Okay, so why couldn't I just confess it from the beginning? Why did it have to get wet? It's either the washing, that's washing, or it's the word that I'm speaking that's washing. Which is it? Come on, are y'all hearing my heart? It confuses me. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, you do baptisms here. That washes away our sin. No, it does not. Listen to it. John came, listen to it, New Testament, Matthew chapter 3. John came, water baptizing unto repentance. Read Romans 6. You were baptized unto the death, burial, and resurrection unto Christ. Hear the difference. Matthew chapter 3, get away from your sin. Dip in water to show people you're remorseful for your sin. New Testament, get baptized so you show you declare over your life the death, burial, and resurrection unto life in Christ. Yes. Come on, did y'all hear the difference? We don't get baptized to wash away our sin. We get baptized to declare the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus over our life. Yes. No one told me that. They're like, you gotta get dipped. Okay, but after I got dipped, then I gotta confess too? And then people that will say that will then make fun of the Catholic Church for praying the rosary, which is no different than them by their works trying to get rid of their sin. How many of you are like, no, on a serious note. How many of you are totally tracking with me and it makes total sense? Amen. See, because we got all these man-made ideas of how we get rid of our sin. When the truth of the matter is, Jesus dealt with it 2,000 years ago. And by you believing what he did, you are made righteous. You're made free from your sin. That doesn't mean we don't water baptize, but we don't water baptize unto the Old Testament for the remission of sin. We baptize because it declares death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6. When you start translating the Bible like this and understanding it, man, I tell you what, you're gonna fall in love with God because he has wiped away all the requirements that you would have to do anything. And listen, the Old Testament required, New Testament, God provides it. Yes. I'm gonna say something else. Holiness is a gift of God. Well, you gotta be holy for the Lord is holy. I know I am holy. I got it by gift. Jesus is holy. I'm in Christ. Come on, y'all hearing me? I'm almost ready to start my message. Okay, so now does everybody see this verse? That if we sin, we have an advocate. We have Jesus pleading our case before the Father. And he doesn't have to plead anything. All he's got to say is, I died. And the Father's like, yeah, I know. That's why I love him. And I give them grace and mercy, not based upon what they do, because they could never qualify. I give them grace and mercy because they believe in what you did. And their faith has made them righteous. Come on, that's New Testament. That's awesome, right? All right, now we're getting into the nitty gritty. So check this out, Acts 13:38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that though through this man, this preached to you the forgiveness of what? You have the forgiveness of sins. I want you to be, I just can't believe you go to that church. I can't believe you listen to Pastor Charlie. Why? He preaches the forgiveness of sins. It's exactly what I preach. I preach it every day of my life. The forgiveness of sins. Not because you deserve it, but because Jesus died for it. Amen. You have the forgiveness of sins. This is why at our church, I don't really focus in on nitpicking your sin all the time. Why? You have the forgiveness of sins. All I need you to do is believe in what he did. And you get a gift you don't even know about. All I'm doing is educating you on what God has already given you. Or retraining you to think New Testament wise. Yes. Come on, amen? Yes. Come on. All right. Through this one man preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Look at this. And by him everyone who does what? Who believes is justified in the things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now watch this. This next word that comes out of this. Now, up till now, the context is you have the forgiveness of sins. It was the first verse I read. The second verse is this one right here. Same verse, same, we're reading it. Look, matter of fact, just so you know, Acts 13:38, let everyone know, watch this. 13:39, By him, everyone who believes is justified in the things. Now watch this. The next word is a warning. Beware, therefore, what? Lest what has been spoken by the prophets come upon you. What did the prophets say? Behold, you dispersers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in the days, a work which you will not by no means. What's that tell me? If there is a warning in the book of Acts, and it says, you have the forgiveness of sins, anyone who believes on him is justified and righteous in the eyes of God. And listen, don't take heed. Take heed to the warning that the prophet spoke. What is it? That you would believe. You would believe the work which Jesus did. Come on, are y'all hearing me? Yeah. There's no reason to give a warning unless you think people won't believe it. Did I lose y'all? He's warning them not to not believe that they have the forgiveness of sins. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people are saved and going to church today, and they don't believe they have the forgiveness of sins. They're walking into church feeling condemned and beat down for their sin. Well, you know, I'm a dirtbag and a worm, and I did this week, and I did this week, and the storms came through, and I cussed at the storm, and I don't know what to do. What do I do, Pastor? See what I'm saying? Jesus already forgiven you, man. How do you activate that forgiveness in your life? You believe what he did? How many of you know the answer is always the same? Anybody getting the picture here? All right, praise God, praise God. Okay, well then, if that's true, Pastor, what about convicting us? How many of you heard that before? Well, you know, the Lord convicted me. Come on, by hands, come on. I've been in church for a while now. I've heard that. Well, you know, the Lord convicted me. And that blew me away. Here's what I've always struggled with. I always struggle with this idea of conviction. Because here's what I know. I know Jesus died 2,000 years ago. And if he died for my sin, then why is he convicting me of my sin? See, now watch. I'll show you how you get some crazy ideas. Well, the Lord convicts you of your sin because he needs to remind you that you sinned. Do I need anybody reminding me of my sin? Come on, answer that plain as day. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need God. I don't need anybody to do that. I guess what? I know I jacked up. Come on, am I right? Well, see, you need the Lord convicting you. That way you'll be sorry. Listen, if I displease God, I'm sorry anyway. Because I love him and I don't want to hurt him. Don't need the Holy Spirit of God to do that. Oh, but the Bible says, does it say that the Holy Spirit convicts you? Well, yes, Pastor Charlie, in John 16, we'll get there. I know you were thinking that. You thought, well, John 16, that's what it says. No, here it is. You ready? Here it is. Let's talk about it. The word convict me five times in choose as the word convict, five times to reprove, four times convince in the New Testament. Notice that, convince. Root word is to bring to light. The one word in the English language that convict actually comes from is the Latin word convincere, which literally means to what? To convince. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, so every time we see the word convict, we can translate it convince. Yes, but let me say this. Even if you don't, it doesn't change what I'm about to show you. Whether you translate it convince or convict, it doesn't change what I'm about to show you. You ready? John 16, here we go, look at this. John 16:5, check this out. Jesus is about to die on the cross. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you a truth. Now this is Jesus speaking, y'all. Everybody hear it? All right, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, notice it's capitalized, which means what? It's a proper noun, right, Miss English teacher? It's a proper noun, which means it's referring to deity, who is the Holy Spirit. That's what it's referring to. It's a proper noun, capitalized, deity, Holy Spirit. That's who it's talking to. Let me ask you a question. Where, as a New Testament believer, where does the Holy Spirit live? In you. Come on, everybody say he's in me. Now, how many of you know if you're unsaved, he doesn't live in you? But when you're saved and born again, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your heart. Come on, amen? All right, so now watch. Watch what he says. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I go, the Holy Spirit, he will not come to you if I don't leave. But if I depart, I will send him where? To you. All right. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Well, see, Pastor Charlie, right there. The Bible teaches that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. That's what it says. Now, let me just go there. You ready? Here it is. If you take this verse all by itself and said, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, I would say you're exactly right. That's what the Bible teaches. But how many of you know that I am an absolute fanatic about context? How many of you know context matters? Come on, everybody look at me. I'm seeing cow licks still, all right? Everybody look at me. Context rules, right? Okay, context rules. You could say of me during a week, I heard Pastor Charlie say, there is no God. You could say that of me. What they may not have told you was, I was quoting the Bible that says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Right? Take one word out of anything and make a doctrine out of it. Right? Let's see what happens with this when we read the next verse. It isn't that far. The next verse, watch this. Of sin, this word sin is a noun. What's that clue you into automatically? Adam's sin, original sin. Of sin, because who? They, who's he talking to? His disciples? Because they ain't you. Because they, what? Because they do not believe in me. Because they don't believe in me. They, not you, they. Who's they? Them. Right? Because they do not believe. What don't they believe? That Jesus came and died to destroy the noun. So they can't be free from the noun until they acknowledge the one who came to defeat the noun. Are y'all with me? Is that talking about you? How could it be you? You ain't they. Unless you don't believe Jesus came and died, you ain't they. They are them that don't believe. Wow, how many of you are like, who's on first, what's on second, nobody's on third? It's like an Abbott and Costello show up here. No, on a serious note though, I'm driving this home because I want you to read it the way it says it, not the religious way you've heard it. Listen to what it says. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Do you believe in him? Yes, then the Holy Spirit is not there to convict you of sin. Think about how crazy that would be. That the Father says their sins and their iniquities, I remember no more. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to die on a cross to wash away your sin, take them away forever. He cleanses you constantly. And yet the Holy Spirit has been given to you to pick on you and point at you and say, look at you. You told that girl at Burger King that the Whopper was good and it was not good. You liar. You liar, you liar. You said that waiter did a good job. You even gave him a 20% tip. But no, when they asked, was the service good? You said, yes, you lied. You convicting person now. Okay, so God the Father has washed away our sins. Jesus washed away our sin. But the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he's just gone rogue. How many of you know it doesn't even make sense? Doesn't even make sense. But that's how people are trained. That's how, that it's what they're saying, but not saying it. And to me, it just don't make any sense. To me, I'm just going to read it for what it says. Of sin because they don't believe in me. In other words, before I got saved, the only thing that I could understand about God is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Amen. And you've sinned. And how many of you know I didn't have to go far to figure that one out? I'm like, yeah, I jacked that one up too. I may sin right now. Come on. Yeah. Why? Because they don't believe. Who's he convicting of sin? Non-believers, praise God. That's how they come to a place of salvation, by knowing they're sinners. Now watch this. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Oh, listen to it. You need this verse to go along with it. You remember this verse? We just came from there. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let's go back to this. Look at this right here. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, declaring that you are righteous. Declaring that you are righteous. When you sin and you miss it, God looks over at the Son, and the Father, Jesus says, but I died for him. And God says, yes, and because they believe in you, you're right. They are righteous in my eyes. They are righteous. The only thing that the Holy Spirit is doing to believers is convicting us of our righteousness in him. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he did for us. So I am convicted every day of my life by the Holy Spirit that he has made me righteous. I am righteous every day of my life. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago for me. And because I believe on him, I am convicted. I'm righteous. I am convicted that I'm righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous in the eyes of God. The Holy Spirit convicts me. He convinces me that I am righteous. Because he convicts the world of sin because they don't believe. But he convicts me. I'm righteous in the eyes of God because I believe in him. Amen. Yeah, that's what your Bible teaches. Next verse. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He convicts the world of sin. Why? Because they don't believe. He convicts me that I'm righteous because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and he is my advocate with the Father that I have been made righteous. Of the enemy, the devil has one thing to know, that he has already been defeated and judged by Jesus. And guess who convinces me of that? Guess who convicts me of that? The Holy Spirit convicts me and convinces me that the enemy is powerless over my life and the devil is a defeated foe. I don't even have to worry about him. He is defeated and wiped out. He has no power over my life, over my kids, over my family, over my job, over anything. Amen? Amen. He's defeated. He's defeated. The devil is defeated. I have been made righteous, and the world is under sin. That's everything that that verse is saying. That is the only place in the Bible where it says that the Holy Spirit convicts us. And oftentimes it's misunderstood. How many of you know he convicts you that you're righteous today? Man, I'm so thrilled. Check it out. Here it is in a nutshell. Of sin, they do not believe. Of righteousness, because he is with the Father. Of judgment, the ruler of this world has absolutely been judged. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Huh? How many of you know? How many of you, that's the first time you've ever heard that verse like that? Oh, great. 4, 5, 12 maybe. Say, Pastor Charlie, what about repentance? Don't we have to repent? Don't we have to repent? Let me tell you something. I got a little slide for you. You may have seen it before, maybe once or twice. You ready? Old Testament, God required. New Testament, God what? God provides. This blew me away when I started understanding this. Because here's what I found. When Jesus came and preached, this will blow you away. Jesus, John chapter 5, the guy at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walks up to him and says, hey, do you want to be made well? Home Slice goes, his name isn't Home Slice, it doesn't say his name. But he says, every time I want to go down into the water, you know, somebody gets in front of me and there's no way for me to make it into the water. And Jesus said, just shut up, just take your bed up and walk. He didn't say shut up. Take your bed, rise and walk, all right? Tells him to get up and walk. Now watch this. Never once did the man repent. Never once. He didn't do anything to be right in the eyes of God, but he believed on him. He didn't do anything. He just believed on him. And his faith was accounted as righteousness. Jesus saw him a little bit later. He says, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Jesus forgave him. He walked in that forgiveness and was made whole. Watch this. Harlot, sleeping around, they caught her. Right? Bring her before Jesus, throw her on the ground. What should we do? The law commands that we stone her. You remember the story? She never repented. There's no account of her repenting. What should we do? Jesus writes in the ground, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Right? Never once. Still hadn't repented. Jesus looks at her. They all left. He says, where are your accusers now? She said, none, Lord. He says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Listen to it. Repentance is a gift. Repentance is a gift. Jesus was actually modeling repentance the opposite way. Let me show you. Old Testament, oh God, please forgive me. New Testament, God forgives us and we believe it. God gives and we believe it and receive it. God gives us repentance and we receive his repentance. Let me show you a couple verses. Here in a couple hours, I'll be done. Check this out. I'm actually never done. I just go from, let me show you a beautiful example of this. It's in the book of Acts, and it's Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, okay? Now watch what happens. Peter was told to go and preach there, but he refused because they were Gentiles and they were unclean under the law. How many of you know Jesus wiped that thing out? Yeah. Jesus showed him in a dream 3 times, you're gonna go and preach at his house. Peter finally goes and here's what happened. Look at this. And what we're looking for, what I wanna show you, listen, everybody, look at me. I wanna show you that repentance was not something they did. It was something God granted. They believed on what Jesus did on the cross. And because of that, they received forgiveness. That's what I'm trying to show you, which is different than what you've been told about repentance probably. You were probably told repentance was based upon you, that if you felt sorry and you felt like a dirtbag and you felt low enough, then you could be repentful and then God would bless your life. I'm telling you, that's old covenant. If your repentance is based upon you, you are the problem. If your repentance is based upon you believing in what Jesus did, it gets you out of the way. Some of you are gonna love the New Testament. You've been in law so long, you're like, I don't even know. And listen, just hear me. Check this out. After this, the following day, he entered Caesarea and Cornelius was waiting for them. And he had called together and received all of his close relatives and his family. Look at this. And then what happened? And again, I'm skipping some of the context, but you can read it. And he commanded this to preach to the people. Peter preaching to the people. Testifying that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead, and to him all the prophets witnesses through his name, whoever believes in him receives the what? There's that gift again. Okay, now listen to what he's preaching. Everyone who believes on him has the remission of sins. This is what he's preaching. He's preaching. He's not preaching go and repent. He's saying believe on him. All right? Look at that. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them who heard the word. And what happened? And all those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. I bet they were. Some of you ain't translating it the way I did. Because I'm thinking, wow, they got it without that? Why am I late to the party? Oh, come on. It was a rock. Rock. As many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. See, get this, up till now, they still were thinking, hey, we get the Holy Spirit by us, by our repentance and what we do. These people are just like, oh, Jesus came and died for us? Oh, really? We believe that. The Holy Spirit, boom, came on them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're saved now. We had to circumcise. Holy cow, they got it by believing. We'll go that way. Come on, I'm just being real. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, watch this. Can anyone forbid them from water that they should be baptized who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now watch this. A couple verses later, chapter 11, it's recording. First of all, do you see them repenting in any way, shape, or form in that? No. What you see them doing is New Testament repenting. Everybody look at me. Pastor Charlie is not teaching that repentance has passed away. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Old Testament repentance was you saying, God, forgive me. New Testament repentance is you believing in what Jesus did for what you did. See, before the cross, you had no choice but you. Now after the cross, you don't have to worry about you. Jesus is what you focus on. Man, that's freeing. It's so freeing. I'd take up an offering by myself. I'll preach to myself. I lay hands on myself, catch myself, pray for myself, and do it all by myself because I just get so pumped up and excited about it. It's so awesome what God has done, right? Can anyone forbid these from being baptized? Now watch this. Acts chapter 11 tells, Peter is recalling the story. Now watch what he says. And he told us of how he had seen an angel standing in the house who said to him, send him to Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words which I will tell you in all your household that, to be saved. Notice, to be saved. They were saved by believing. Look at this. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us from the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall receive the be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to, not repentance from sin, repentance to life. Old Testament, repentance from sin. New Testament, repentance to life. Old Testament, repentance from what I did. New Testament, repentance to what Jesus did. Turning to what Jesus did. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? It gets you out of the way, man. It puts Jesus at the center point of your relationship with God. I'm gonna give you about three more verses and then I'm done. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them, God will, y'all didn't hear it, that God will grant them repentance, God initiating. Look at this. Or do not despise the riches of his goodness or the forbearance or the long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that what? Leads people to repentance. Who's initiating? Under the law, God required. Under the New Testament, God provides. God gives the ability for you to repent. How does that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Look at this. 2 Peter says the same thing. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men call it slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. See, right there, New Testament, you should repent. But listen to it. Is your repentance from sin, or is your repentance to what Jesus did? See, watch this. Old Testament, I repent from sin. I'm baptized from sin. I'm moving from sin. New Testament, unto Christ, unto life, unto Jesus, moving that direction. The focus is Christ, the resurrection, what Jesus did. Focus Old Testament, my sin, my sin, my sin, my failure, my problems, my issue. Get it? Which one would you rather live under? Shoot, what Jesus did, what Jesus did, what Jesus did. Focus on my relationship is what Jesus did. Come on, anybody? Absolutely. That's what I believe. How many of you got something out of that? Yes. I got to shut up eventually, all right? So give the Lord a big clap, praise God. Next week, Next week, I got a great illustration. You're going to love it. It's going to make a whole lot more sense even next week. So if you haven't got anything out of this series, which I don't know how you couldn't possibly get out of it, pretty good, I think. But listen, but the truth of the matter is, John and I were talking about between service, or right before the service started. He was saying how, Pastor Charlie, you've been teaching this stuff for years, but you've never put it in one consistent teaching, flowing it together so that people can get the whole picture of it. So I hopefully, prayerfully, I'm giving you an understanding. I know by teaching this, I caused a lot of questions. I'm aware of that. Give me time. We'll work it out together. Is that all right? How many of you know you're not going to get all of it in one Sunday? Well, I could give it all. Well, maybe not all of it, but time would run out. Praise God. All right. All right. And kids ministry will hate me forever. All right. Hey, listen, are you righteous today?
Yes.
Yes. Are you saved?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, listen to this. Does the Holy Spirit convict you of sin? No. Does he convict you of righteousness?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have the forgiveness of sin?
Yes.
Do you have to do anything for it?
No.
What are you supposed to do?
Believe
on him. How long ago?
Yes.
Ah, y'all are awesome. Let me pray for you.